back into the For the Love of Sports podcast. I am your host, Blake Hatfield, joined as always by my beautiful girlfriend, Sophia Schubert.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking any time this week. I know you got a lot going on. We wanted to give you another podcast as always. This one will be a little bit quicker. So, Sophia, thank you for taking some time to knock this out.
Of course. Yeah, it has been a busy week. And unfortunately, it has been a sad week. As we all know, the passing of Kobe Bryant on Sunday, it's so sad. When I saw it, I didn't believe it at first. And then more news kept coming out, you know, his daughter and the seven other people on the plane. It's a tragic, tragic thing to happen to such an incredible person.
It's going to be one of those that you remember where you were at when you heard the news of Kobe Bryant's passing, and still doesn't seem real. It's amazing the impact and outpouring of love you've seen, not only from the sports world and the basketball community, but the world in itself.
From everybody. It's amazing to see, like, even people that don't really follow sports, you know, they've said that that Kobe has really inspired them. And that's incredible. You know, he was so much more than a basketball player, especially the last few years after he retired a few years ago. He was doing so much. He was such a family man, a wonderful father. It's been really incredible to see the impact that he has made even outside of basketball.
That's something that, you know, has really kind of, you know, opened your eyes a little bit. You got famous athletes, soccer players and, you know, golfers and all this, that when they hear the news of the passing of a basketball player, I mean, their hearts break, and you know, that was their idol. That was their person. Kobe Bryant really reshaped his image from his younger years, to somebody who is truly lovable. Mm-hmm. A great family man that you mentioned, you know, losing his daughter, well as other families that were affected by this tragedy. It's almost unimaginable.
Game. It's incredible. I've seen so many stories about how he has helped his daughter, over the past few years. And he would even say that he was kind of out of the basketball world for a little while, and his daughter kind of brought that spark back for him. And she wanted him to help her become even better than he was. And I think that's what he was doing. And it's so sad and shocking for everyone.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned it about his daughter. There's been interviews, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel, that Kobe said that people would come up to him and say, you know, Kobe, you need a boy. You need a boy to carry on that name and your legacy and all that. And he said, no, Gigi's got it. Talking about his daughter, 13 years old. It is, I mean, you see the videos of her playing and she's biting her jersey like Kobe would. She's hitting a step back. I mean, 13 years old, you can see the Kobe in her. I mean, yeah, and they were flying to his academy to watch her play and her team, along with hundreds of other girls for a tournament. Truly, truly shocking. I mean, you see all the tributes. Justin Thomas has got Kobe on some of his wedges. You've seen over the basketball world, teams taking the 24-second shot clock violation to honor
that
Kobe.
That is so cool. Yeah.
It's chilling.
It is chilling. It's very chilling. And I feel like for so many people, it still doesn't seem real. Did you watch the replay of the game? Or I guess, was it his last game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. ESPN they replayed it last night, and you forget just how, I mean, one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And he worked for that. The Mamba mentality is something that he created. And it's true. I mean, he had a desire to work harder and be better than anybody else out there. And he made himself better by that. And I think that's something that, you know, you can put in your sports life, if you're an athlete, or in your day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. Just be the best person that you can be. And the one that really got me, hearing Shaq talk about him the other day, those two had been at odds. You know, they didn't get along all the time when they played together, but anytime you see a guy like Shaq, you know, choke up, that always does it for me.
For sure. I mean, you can see the impact that he made on so many of those guys' lives. It's incredible. And he's going to be missed. And my goodness, did you see, I actually saw on, I think it was Twitter, that there's a petition going out to change the logo, the NBA logo, to Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, from Jerry West.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
I wouldn't have a problem with it. You know, it's something special for the league to take notice like they did. But also one thing that happened just, I think it was Monday night, or maybe even Sunday night, Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, one of the Lakers' biggest rivals and somebody that a team that Kobe, you know, destroyed year after year after year after year and broke their hearts. Mark Cuban said, you know, there won't be a Dallas Maverick that ever wears number 24 again. We're retiring it for Kobe.
That's pretty cool. You know, I'm wondering if it's going to have like a trickle effect and more teams are going to do that.
Yeah, there's you know, talk of number 24 being retired throughout the league. Mm-hmm. Just today, two players, Spencer Dinwiddie and Terrence Ross, said that they won't wear number 8, which was Kobe's first number.
Wow.
To honor him, they won't wear that anymore. They don't feel like it's right. I mean, these are guys that didn't play with Kobe, and they feel like it's best to honor him, to not wear his number, and it's something for him only. So I think the tributes and the honors, and if it is changing the NBA logo, I think they're going to continue to pour in for Kobe. And
it's much, much deserved. And our thoughts and prayers go out to, you know, the Bryant family and all the other families involved. It's so tragic.
The one of the most shocking and horrific deaths of a celebrity or athlete that I think we'll see in our lifetime, gone way too soon. And I told you on Sunday when the news broke that I think he could have been the NBA commissioner one day. He was that brilliant. He was that well respected, and gone way, way too soon. And obviously Gigi and the other 7 on board, mm-hmm. the father, the wife and the daughter. He was a baseball coach. I'm blanking on their name right now, but it's mm-hmm. just truly horrific.
It really is. But he definitely, his legacy will definitely live on. And I think that is pretty special.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, I just wanted to get that out there. I know that, you know, Kobe has gotten all the attention the last 2 days, and I think he deserves every single minute of it. The outpouring of love is something special, but it'll be interesting to see what happens in the upcoming weeks. Speaking of the upcoming weeks, this weekend, it is the Super Bowl down in Miami, Florida. It's the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. I know we talked a little bit about it last week, just kind of as a primer, but as we are just a few days away, Sophia, where is your interest level at in the Super Bowl?
I'm very interested in it. I know that may seem like a surprise. I mean, I love sports. I love football. I don't really watch a whole lot of pro football. But I mean, it's going to be a huge event, so I'll be watching.
Do you get more excited for the musical performances, the national anthem and the halftime show, the commercials, the game itself, or is it just the pageantry of it all?
All of it, pretty much.
Okay.
I think, you know, obviously without the musical performances and the commercials and all that, it would be a little less interesting, but it's still football, and I will be watching. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good one, and we'll see. Are you going to be watching?
Yeah, I hope to be. I hope to be where I'm able to watch the game. Hope I'm not driving at the time, but I'll definitely try to make it a point to watch. In recent years, we're going to steer away from the football because, I mean, I don't have a knowledge level enough to give you anything insightful on the football side of it. I feel like recently, though, the commercials have kind of gone downhill.
They
like
have.
As I was younger, like I would, like I love the Doritos commercials. Mm-hmm. I always loved the Clydesdale commercials and the dogs for Budweiser, even though, you know, not a drinker, always loved their commercials. I thought they were cute. But in recent years, I just felt like these companies are trying way too hard.
100%. Like I remember watching last year, and I honestly, there are no commercials that like stood out to me. Nothing.
No.
Fun, really. I mean, I can remember like the day after the Super Bowl going to school and talking about all the commercials and stuff. Like that was just something you did. And now,
mm-hmm.
not so much. They need to step up their game.
They need to step up their game. And recently, like they'll release the commercials the morning of the Super Bowl, that just ruins the whole fun of it.
It does.
You need to see it in real time. So hopefully the commercials are better. We'll let you know on next week's pod what we think. We'll pick out our favorite ones and go through some of that. Also this weekend in sports, it is the Waste Management Open there in Phoenix with the wild crowds there on 16. And one of the better non-major events on the golf tour, the PGA Tour throughout the year. John Rahm, my guy, Rombo, your betting favorite, 7-1 odds. Justin Thomas, 9-1.
Okay.
So a star-studded field, no Tiger. Bryson will be back, even though he got a time warning last week, and then he had four straight bogeys. We're not going to talk about that, though.
I saw that. Poor guy.
Poor. He does it to himself.
He does, and he needs to learn how to handle it better.
Like we talked about.
Because he says, oh, I'm not slow, but clearly he is. Like, that shows that he is.
It shows that he is, and I think it shows that it affects him when somebody proves that he is.
Yes.
Because, I mean, he went from being in contention to four straight bogeys just as soon as the official said, hey, you're on the clock.
Yes.
So, we all know my thoughts on Bryson.
Yeah.
Do you look forward to this event at all? Does this one stand out to you?
I do.
When you're looking at the schedule?
Yeah, I think this is a really fun event. I would love to go. I've never been. But just to see the crowds and see everybody get hyped up is so fun.
Right, like, and I think golf needs more of that.
They do. It, like, changes it up a little bit. Golf is always so serious and quiet, and it's not here. Like, it's not, and it's so fun. And I love to see the players interact with the crowd, too.
Right, absolutely. I mean, the one, I know it's from 97, but of Tiger making the hole-in-one and, you know, raising the roof as he's walking down and just pandemonium going along. You've had Rombo, you know, get the crowd hyped up before he even hits the ball.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a different atmosphere there. And golf does need stuff like that. I mean, you have a clap that's named the golf clap for how quiet it is.
Yes.
There's no fun in that. You need excitement. You need fan interaction. And I think this is one of the better ones on tour.
Not only the players love it and the fans love it. Like, it's just, it's a cool event.
I hate to say I told you so for the second week in a row, but I told you so. Phil Mickelson misses the cut at Torrey Pines, kind of his home course away from home.
Listen, he can't make every cut.
I just want him to make one. Ever since I said that Phil Mickelson is done, he's made zero cuts.
I know
it's only two events, but
he's just getting warmed up.
I guess when you are older, it takes you a little bit longer to get revved. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. So should I expect Phil, he's
not going to stop.
So should I expect Phil to make a cut by the Masters, maybe, or
possibly?
Okay.
Yeah. I think he's just enjoying it.
Well, he better enjoy starting to make money here in a few weeks. I mean, I know Phil's got it. Right, but still, I mean, I think I'm in his head. I think, you know, once I said Phil's done, he just hadn't been the same.
Yeah, so, yeah, I know. He heard that, and it shook him.
0-2. Sorry, Phil. Hate to do it to you, buddy.
He'll make his comeback.
I don't know about that. Also, one other guy, really quick before we move on from golf. One guy that we talked about a lot, Jordan Spieth, is now out of the top 50 of the official world golf ranking.
Whoa.
His fall is well documented. Something that I didn't think I would see, you know, a couple years ago when he was going for the Grand Slam.
Yeah.
Just truly, truly hard to believe. And, you know, one guy that both of us root pretty hard for. So hopefully Jordan can get back on the winning path and climb back up the official world golf ranking before the end of the year.
I think he will.
All right, so that does it for golf. We will go to our weekly rants.
Well,
people seem to really enjoy.
We'll go to our weekly rant here in one moment. I do have a question for you, Blake. It's been on my mind.
Okay, all right.
Before we go into the rants, you know, I haven't really heard you talk about the Cubs much, and I'm wondering, what is going on?
Well, that's the problem. Unfortunately, there's not a lot going on with the Cubs this offseason. This is not my weekly rant. I want that on the record. Until 2 weeks ago, maybe last week even, they hadn't done anything in free agency over the year. They hadn't spent $1 since the offseason. They just let Nick Castellanos, or as I like to say, Castellavos, walk. And he goes to the Cincinnati Reds in your division. One of the players that hits 50 doubles after the All-Star break for you and you can't sign him. One of the integral parts of that team's almost making the postseason last week or last year and you can't even sign him.
Well, why do you think they're not?
Because Tom Ricketts is poor, okay? He's a billionaire that's poor. He has trouble paying off the utility bill at Wrigley Field. He has trouble doing this. Chris Bryant is in arbitration with them. Anthony Rizzo, they haven't given him a lifetime contract yet, which that's a couple years old. They talked about trading Wilson Contreras, which I would have
good.
So the Cubs, I haven't talked about much because it raises my blood pressure to unhealthy levels. So
as of today, we should probably move on.
Let me make my statement. As of today, Wednesday, January 29th, my official prediction for the 2020 Cubs season is that they will finish no better than fourth in their own division behind St. Louis, Milwaukee, and Cincinnati, just barely above Pittsburgh. They won't even be close to making the playoffs, and I will not be talking about that National League team based out of Chicago after today.
Okay.
So that's my talk on the Cubs. I am out on the Cubs.
I don't know. I'm still publicly a Cubs fan.
Well, I'm still a Cubs fan too, but I can be an angry Cubs fan
who doesn't
display it publicly.
You said you're out.
I'm out.
I give it 3 weeks before you say something about the Cubs.
Well, we are less than a month away from spring training, and once they win their first spring training game, I'm probably all back in. But I am out publicly on talking anything good about the Cubs until then.
Until then.
Okay. Weekly rant time.
Wow.
I can go. You can go. I'm wound up already, so whatever you want me to do.
You got this. Just keep it going.
All right, I'll go first.
Okay.
My rant this week, my pet peeve, my irritation. You go to a restaurant, and the waitress comes up, takes your drink order, doesn't write anything down. Okay, that's fine. You got two, maybe four people at the restaurant. That's pretty easy to remember. Waitress comes back and says, "Are you guys ready to order?" And you start ordering, and they still don't write anything down. I cannot stand that.
They're just good at what
they do. Write down the order, get it right, and we won't have any issues. 87.3% of the time that I have been at a restaurant and they didn't write down the order, guess what happened?
They get it
wrong. I'll tell you what happened. They got it wrong. I'm a picky eater. I like my stuff very specific. 87.3% of the time that I have ordered a meal and the waiter or waitress has not written down the order and thinks they've got it all up in their big noggin, gets it wrong. And so you know what that does? That makes me say, oh, wait a minute. There wasn't supposed to be tomato and lettuce on this. Oh, I remember you saying that. Well, Donna, if you had written it down, we wouldn't have this issue and I could have my meal with everyone else. So write down the order. Take a little bit extra time. You're not impressing anybody. Just write it down.
But they're trying
to write it down.
I think just let them do their job, okay?
They're not doing their job if they get the food wrong. That means you're just wasting it. I can't stand. Just write it down. Just write it down.
Okay.
Your turn. What do you got this week?
My rant. It has to do with sports.
Okay.
It has to do with
not
the
driving.
Sport.
That's a shocker.
Yeah, it has to do with the sport that I play.
Ooh.
Which is golf, for those of you that don't know. Let's just say, okay, the golfer that takes themselves way too serious. It's a thing.
Now, absolutely.
I take it serious. I'm a professional. I take it serious. Sometimes
you're talking about guys like me.
How'd you know?
Exactly.
I recently played in a tournament. Yes, it was somehow a tournament. In Florida, it was just a little 2 day just for fun. Me and some of my friends played in it. And half the field were professionals. Half the field were amateurs. I was one of like five girls that played in it. The rest were men. Yeah, it was fun. It was good little competition. I got to play with some guys that play on mini tours, and it was fun. Good little warm up for the season. But I played with this one guy who thought he should be Tiger Woods.
We call him Eldrick here.
I just, you know, he didn't, his game was not quite like Tiger Woods' game.
Was he a professional?
He said he was, yes.
Okay.
But I guess anyone can claim be a professional. But anyway, his game did not match up with his attitude.
So did he have the pants, the scorecard holder?
Oh, yes. Everything. Okay. He would get so upset. And this is the classic. This is the classic phrase. I don't know why I'm hitting it like this. I never hit it like this. I never do
this. That means
this.
You always hit it like that.
Always.
I feel like you're taking personal shots at me
No. No. But I'm not going to get quite as angry with my rant as
it's
you
probably
did.
A good thing.
Probably. Right.
So when you see these people, and, you know, when I've went to practice with you or anything, mm-hmm. we see them on the range now and then. We see them at these tournaments, yes. obviously. What is your, like, if you could say one thing or give them one tip, what would that word of advice be to them?
Pick up a different hobby.
Or say, it's just a hobby for you. It's not your livelihood.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I have seen that before too.
I mean, you know, there's some people that you just know are never going to be very good. I don't know. It's just, but they think they are. And then they're playing with professionals like us girls, and they still think that they can beat us. And it's so funny. It's so funny to me. But
so you did beat them though?
Oh, yes.
Okay. We just want that on the record,
from
everybody.
The same tee box. Yes. Yes.
Right.
But yeah, my rant is people that take golf way too seriously that shouldn't.
I love it. So. I've seen it. I can understand it.
Yeah.
So that takes us to one of our favorite segments. Kind of gives you an insight to who we are a little bit in very weird and quirky ways. It's our five questions. A couple of these have been sent in. So thank you all for sending your questions in. We encourage you to do so on Twitter at For Love Sports.
I am glad they do, because we sometimes have a hard time coming up with them.
Very much so. or tweet at us at the Sophia Golfer at Blake_Hatfield. And we'd love to read them on the pod. Or if you guys want us to talk about a specific topic, do the same thing at For Love Sports or at our individual handles. So question number one, with it being Super Bowl week, would you rather go to the Super Bowl, the NCAA championship game for football, or the NCAA Final Four?
Well, here's my question. So it's either, are we talking men's Final Four or women's?
It whatever you can
either
pick whatever
or?
One you want. Yep. Hmm.
If the Lady Vols or Texas are playing, Final Four. If not, NCAA football.
Okay. I think that's a great answer.
By far.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's so exciting, even just to watch over TV. Just
yeah,
to
I
be
agree.
There, even if it's not your team, you know?
I think the Super Bowl is too corporate.
Yeah.
You don't get, and it's you price out a lot of the normal, you know, the diehard fans. The NCAA football championship, you get true 50-50 split, hopefully. Yeah. Had to be cool for the LSU people in New Orleans this year. And then the Final Four is a little weird to me. I'd love to go to the Final Four, especially, you know, if one of my teams were in it, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But they're normally played in football stadiums, which means that the sight lines aren't that good. So I think I got to go with you. I think I'm going to go with the NCAA football championship game.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty easy choice. I mean, I think most people would choose college football.
Right. I agree with you. So yeah, that's what we're going to go with. And hopefully one of our teams makes it there,
we'll be there.
Here in the next few years. All right. We've got question number two. Glad we actually agreed on one for once.
Let's see here. Okay. One person sent in, if you could pick one actor / actress for your biography, who would you want to play you?
Yeah. Thank you to Brian for sending that one in. It's a tough one. I've thought about it. You know, I was going to say like Johnny Depp or Matthew McConaughey, but you know, I wanted it to be, you know, slightly realistic. So earlier today I was Googling, you know, actors with glasses and beards, just to try to get an idea of somebody that might look like me. I came up with two. I don't know how familiar you are with both of them, but you can tell me which one you would choose for me. Tom Hardy. He was Bane in Batman. He was also in Dunkirk and a lot of other movies. Venom. He's a little bit shorter than I am, but he plays some bigger roles. I always loved Tom Hardy. Or Charlie Hunnam. He was Jax Teller in The Sons of Anarchy. He's in the brand new The Gentleman with Matthew McConaughey. And he was also in Triple Frontier. I think both of those guys would do a great job playing me. I think they've got the wit and the charisma that I do. So those are the two that I'm picking.
They both look very similar.
To me, like you were saying?
Either or.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so I got two people playing me just in case one drops out because the pressure's too much. So that's who I would pick. Same question to you. If you could pick one actress for your biographical film, who are you choosing?
Oh, gosh. You know, I haven't really thought about it, but
Brian took the time to send this question in.
I know. Thank you, Brian. I'm between two women. And okay, they're both wonderful. Yeah, me too. I would say either J-Lo. I know she's older. Okay. I love J-Lo, though. I think she's just amazing. Or
after you pick, I'm going to pick. After you pick, I'm going to say who I think would play you.
I was going to say her or the girl from Wonder Woman. I think it's like
that's who I was going to say.
Well, you know, yes. I love her.
Every time I see her or a preview for Wonder Woman, there's a new one coming out soon. We'll have to go see.
Yes.
Every time I see her or see the Wonder Woman on TV, I think of you. I think she would be the perfect person to play you.
Well, that's sweet. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Aww. I just nailed that. So I get 2 points on that one.
You did. Boom. He nailed that one. Oh my gosh. Well, she's beautiful. So thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it obviously fits you. This one's tough and it takes a little bit of thinking. Would you rather be given $10 million right now or $10 for every time that you clapped for the rest of your life?
I would rather, you know, you could clap a million times, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I would take the 10 million and invest like half of it.
Okay. So you're going to take five and try to make the other five worth a lot more.
Yes.
Okay. I don't hate that.
Yeah.
I'm a big clapper though. I love clapping. And I think I'm going to take $10 for every time I clap. I think I clap a million times in 1 year. Like I'll clap joking. Watching this Tennessee. No, I think I'll clap 120 times.
I don't think there's
watching this Tennessee basketball
do.
Game.
I don't think even there's though anything they're losing I right could now. Do a million times.
Yeah, there is. Especially if you see, every time I do this, I'm going to get $1 million. So every time that somebody,
every time I go,
yeah, that's what I meant. Every time I go to the local restaurant and Donna takes out her pen and pad and writes down my order, she's getting 10 claps. So that's $100 right there. I'm taking the clapping.
Yeah, or you could just already have it and save your hands.
I could, but then I'd go buy a Lamborghini or something, and then it'd be gone, and I'd be like, "Where'd all my money go?"
And you'd still have a lot of money left.
Yeah, maybe so.
Okay, well, I will any day take my 10 million over your 1 million claps.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. I think I'm right.
Okay.
Though.
Well. I want to know what people think about that. I feel like The 10 million.
I feel like you're going to be on the most popular. I think you're going to. And yeah. Speaking of the poll from last week that we posed about the Super Bowl halftime show, I think there was a little bit of voter fraud. I know it's very popular in America. Somehow, some way, Shakira and Jennifer Lopez beat out Chris Stapleton and Justin Timberlake. I think it's rigged. I want a recount. We'll let you know on next week's pod.
I mean, who really won? Clearly the right choice. I mean, come on.
Debatable. All right,
they're both
continue.
Wonderful. But okay, next question. What is your go-to karaoke song?
I know that you know exactly what it is.
There's honestly, a song that... there's so many songs that you... Yes, I do. I know what it is.
Yeah. Anytime that, you know, we're jamming or whatever, there's always one song that I'll play and I'll just let it rip on every single word. It's cliche because I think everybody would say this. My go-to is Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice.
Yes.
That's one that I can quote in my sleep. It is just a true classic and a gem for many generations to come.
I think that's a great one. And you are very good at singing it.
I think you actually have videos. We will not post those, though.
I do. We will. We will at a later date.
At a later date, yes. You are asked to sing one song publicly. What are you choosing? In the form of karaoke.
When I think of karaoke, though, I think of like you're out with your like friends and you're just jamming to a song and like having the time of your life. I don't think of like one of my favorite songs. I just think of like wonderful karaoke songs that everyone will scream to the top of their lungs. So,
well, you better pick one.
Well, I have a couple. I have Don't Stop Believing.
Don't stop. Okay, continue.
That one's awesome. And then I think of my girls and I want to say, man, I feel like a woman. By Shania Twain. Yes.
Did you see her the other night?
I did.
At the Grammys?
I did.
What was she doing? What were any of these people doing? I'm obviously way too old because I had no idea who half of those people were the other night at the Grammys. But that's
honestly, I don't even know because I was still trying to figure out some of those performances.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Tyler, the creator, he created a disaster.
He really did. I don't know what that was, but never do it again. Anyway, those are my karaoke songs.
So Shania Twain and Journey.
Shania Twain. Yeah.
I think Living on a Prayer would be a good one.
Yeah.
Because you get that, whoa. I mean, yeah. I think that would be, that'd get the whole place going.
Yeah.
Bye, bye, bye.
Any Britney Spears song? Dance.
Oh, yeah. I could do the dance moves to Bye, Bye, Bye. That's just a little added element.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's a pretty good selection for
those
us.
Those are good.
Kind of makes me want to go rolling in my 5.0, but never mind.
No, please.
This
don't.
One's a little bit different. If you could go back to any decade or time period, we'll be kind of reasonable. You know, don't say anything BC. I mean, unless you want to, but I just don't think that's reasonable. If you could go back to any time period or decade to live, which are you choosing? Mine's easy. I think this
Mine's
is an easy
90s.
Question. Oh, so you could jam out the Vanilla Ice.
Yes.
Word to your mother.
I'm a 90s baby, and I think the 90s.
You have an 80s
were...
Mercedes?
I do. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's a song for those of you that don't know.
They better know.
They better know. I'm not going to sing it.
So you're saying the 90s. Give me three reasons why you're picking the 90s.
I don't know.
Boy, it's taking you a long time. This seems like a great decade to live in.
You know what I think of when I think of the 90s?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes. Well, I think of the outfits, first of all.
Bright colors.
I think of, you remember those
acid
little things?
Wash jeans.
Yeah, for sure. Not the CD players, but like the little...
The Walkmans.
No, it's like these... They were little squares, and the little CDs were like squares, and you just pop them in.
Tapes.
No, those are not squares. Those are rectangles.
Oh. Then I have no idea what you're talking about. 8-tracks? Just,
anyway, no. Just never mind. I saw it the other day on Instagram or something. But I would pick 90s. What would you pick?
Okay. This one's easy. It's the 20s. They got great suits, great wool three-piece suits. I'd pull that off like a gym. You got early model Fords, and you got the Bonnie and Clyde type people. I love that generation. I would not be a member of the mafia. I would not. I want that on the record.
That's good.
But I do think that I would
be.
I think I would have succeeded though.
Yeah. I was going to say, because you don't love The Godfather at all.
I don't love The Godfather. I don't love. Oh, what is that movie with Johnny Depp and Christian Bale? Oh, goodness. Hold, please. Let me look this movie up real quick. People are probably screaming it in the car. Hold on. Johnny Depp, Christian Bale, Public Enemies. Great movie.
Yep. I've never seen it.
Right on the tip of my tongue. I saw the 20s. I think I'd dominate it. And with the knowledge that I have now, imagine what power I could have in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
See, the 20s? Yeah, I don't know.
They were roaring.
20s. They were. We're in the roaring 20s again.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. I think that's okay. Good choices. Good choices. Mine is better, but good choice.
Okay. Fair. All right. It is time for our new story of the week. And this one, kind of funny, kind of just dumb, but it does come from the great state of Louisiana. Shout out, Coach O.
Go Tigers.
Headline reads, man asks gym mates to borrow guns for robbery. Police in Louisiana have charged a man with drug possession after he approached two people in the gym parking lot and asked to borrow their guns so he could commit a robbery.
Wow.
However, unfortunately, one of the men was an off-duty police officer. So, not the person you really want to ask. The undercover cop said that Duke had approached the two men in a Planet Fitness parking lot and that he told the men that he wanted to borrow their guns to rob someone of enough money that he could leave the town. Well, as I said, unfortunately, as an off-duty cop, so he just called his buddies and said, hey, you might want to come check out this guy. And police later spotted him at a nearby gas station and found what they believed to be meth wrapped in a $100 bill in his pocket. So obviously, Mr. Duke, not the brightest individual.
No.
Still asking cops for their guns so he could commit a robbery and then carrying methamphetamines around. And, you know, I don't have a lot of experience with either of those. I have actually no experience in robbing anybody.
That's good to know.
Or methamphetamines. But I do have experience in going to the gym and carrying guns out. However, they're just attached to my shoulders. There's your joke for the week. Been working hard on that one. We appreciate everybody for listening. Sophia, thank you for making time out of your busy week so we can knock this out.
thank you.
Someone has a birthday coming up on Friday. Shout out, Sophia. And we will catch you all next week.